As you have gathered with this past week, where the boys and girls have been learning that the Christian life is like a race. And as Lorna was saying, we think of the Commonwealth Games, which has just recently passed, and how there were so much races that were going on there. And indeed, Lorna and I were in the same wavelength this morning, because the next character we see in the picture was, Lorna's mentioned, the greatest runner, the fastest runner today is probably Usain Bolt. And in 2 years' time at the Olympic Games in Brazil, if Usain Bolt wins both the 100 and 200 metres, as he may, he will certainly be regarded as the greatest sprinter ever. He is a phenomenal athlete. If you look at his body when he's running and his muscle, he's absolutely amazing. And yet, as wonderful as Usain Bolt is, he's not perfect. And he has his limits as what he can do. And at the Commonwealth Games recently, he only ran in the relay race. That was the only race he ran in. He didn't run in the individual 100 or 200 metres because he was injured during the heats in Jamaica for the Commonwealth Games. And that's why he only ran in the relay. So a great man as he is a man who has flaws and weaknesses and is limited. But this week, the boys and girls were learning about the supreme champion, the one who is perfect, the one who has no limits. And that passage we read says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Christianity is first and foremost about looking to Jesus, looking to the one who has run the race perfectly and who the one who has no flaws. Christianity is not about us and what we do. Most religions in the world, and religion is primarily about what we do to reach God and to please God. Christianity is about what Jesus has done. And when we think about running the race, the first thing we have to think about is not what we do, but what Jesus has done. Jesus lived the perfect life, and he died on the cross for the sin of his people. And as he was dying on the cross, it wasn't defeat. Death is often seen as defeat, but it was a victory in Jesus' case, because as he died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." A legal term, which means that a legal transaction had been done. The price for sin had been paid in full. The only way that a holy God could be satisfied is that every sin that's ever been committed would be punished. And so Jesus died on the cross for the sin of his people, for those who would come to him. And he rose on the third day, proving that indeed the price had been paid in full. The resurrection is evidence that Jesus is who he said he was, the Son of God. The resurrection is evidence that Jesus has completed the race in victory. He rose from the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't hold him. Satan couldn't hold him. He had the victory over all of these things. And Jesus is the supreme champion. When Cherif and I got married, we lived in Ballyclare. And we lived in a wee estate, and round the corner where we lived, there was myself, there was a pastor from the Metropolitan Tabernacle in Whitewell, and my next door neighbour was a pastor or minister in the Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Ballyclare. So Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons had some time coming around our estate, around that corner. But I remember talking to Michael, who was a pastor in Whitewell one time, and we were talking about different characters that we really looked up to. And he says, what about Jesus though? Isn't he great? And the way he said it always made me feel uncomfortable. But the point of Christianity, he was right. Christianity is about seeing the value of Jesus. It's about seeing the wonder of who Jesus is, that he's come into this world, the Son of God. He's lived that perfect life. He has won the victory. It's spoken in that passage in Hebrews that he raised to the right hand of God. The right hand of God doesn't mean he's just at the right side of God. It means he's in the place of all power. He's ruling. He's reigning. He is the supreme champion. And he's the one we have to trust in. And when we trust in him, what a glorious hope that he's in total control and he's the one that looks after his people. So he rose on the third day, proving he was victorious. But we need to think about joining the race. It's one thing to focus on Jesus, but we need to realize that we have a response that is needed. It says there in Hebrews that he is the author of faith. He is the one who creates faith. It's seeing Christ and trusting in him brings us into the race. It's the only way that we can start this race is indeed by trusting in Jesus. If you go to the Commonwealth Games or to the Olympic Games, you have to go and start the race in a certain way. You have to go through the heats. There's a way you have to go. And even a great person like Usain Bolt, because he didn't go to the heats, he couldn't run in the race. There's one way for people to enter the race, and that is through the heats. And the same way, the only way that we can join the race is through trusting in Jesus. We were learning about a man from Ethiopia this week, a man who had went up to Jerusalem to worship. He was a man who feared God. And as he was returning from Jerusalem, he got a scroll, a part of the Old Testament scriptures. And as he was traveling through the desert on his way back to Ethiopia, he was reading this scroll. And we read in the Bible what he was actually reading. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7 is what he was reading. Words written 700 years before Jesus was even born. And it says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he is cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And this man from Ethiopia, he was searching after God, and he was using God's word to search after him. But he just couldn't understand what he was reading there. He couldn't understand what that was talking about. And so the Lord sent Philip into the desert to speak to him, to meet with him, and to explain what the scriptures meant. And you know, God had a wonderful plan there, a plan that Philip would draw alongside and open up his word to him, to bring this man to salvation. And even over this past week, this is part of the plan of God. This is what the church is for us to draw alongside people and to explain what God's word is saying. And this man was pointed by Philip to Jesus. He explained to him that what was written there all those years ago was pointing to Jesus and how he had come and how he would die. And the wonderful offer of faith, who is Jesus, at that point, through the power of the Spirit, brought that Ethiopian man to faith. I wonder today, have you faith? It says in the Bible, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Have you got faith today? Now, when I ask that question, I'm not asking you, do you just have a general faith that God exists and somehow God will look after you? In reality, if that's all your faith is, that there's a God out there who's nice and will be kind to you, that sort of faith really is of little benefit as just crossing your fingers and hoping for the best in regards to the future. Now, that's maybe a wee bit harsh, you think, for me to say, but this is very important, because the faith that is needed, the faith that this Ethiopian man got, and the faith that you need is a particular faith. And it's a faith that doesn't just focus on God in a general way, but focuses particularly on Jesus and on his death on the cross to save you from your sin. And so what this man was brought to and what he was reading was about Jesus and his death for the sin of his people. And the faith that you need is a faith that realizes you're not good enough to please God. No matter how good you try to be, your only hope that Jesus, the supreme champion, has run the race before you. And the only way that you can get to heaven is through faith in this Jesus. Another way of describing this faith is in the words of the hymn. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. As an old man in America put it, Michael Card is a Christian songwriter. His grandfather was a preacher. And this is what he said. He says, I have one hope, that Jesus died for me. And on that, I will swing out into eternity. Are you trusting in Jesus to deal with your sin? Are you trusting in Jesus to bring you to glory? We were also thinking about starting the race, which is, of course, very similar to joining the race. It's saying much the same thing, but it's re-emphasizing it. We've spent the night in this because this is so important. You have to start the race. You have to join the race. You have to be brought to Jesus. And we thought about Saul of Tarsus. We considered him. He was a very angry man. He was a man who was very religious. He was a man who was very upright. A man regarded highly by many. But he was a man who hated Christ. He had a religion which didn't have saving faith in Christ at the center. And Saul showed his blindness and his stubbornness in that even though he knew about Jesus, he would never come to Christ. He never would start the race. He was a stubborn man. And I wonder, has God been speaking to you? I wonder, are you someone who have heard the message of the gospel, but you've never responded? I wonder, are you stubborn? We all have a bit of stubbornness in us. And in most things, it's not the most important thing. But when it comes to the gospel, stubbornness is a dangerous, dangerous thing. But Paul, or Saul as he was called originally, he had his stubbornness dealt with. Saul met Jesus on the Damascus Road, that glorious and bright light, and his stubbornness was taken away. He was a broken man. He was a man who now saw the glory of Christ. He now realized that Christ was God and Christ was so much greater. And he became a broken man. He was blinded initially. And he surrendered to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? And this is important because the faith that we're talking about, this faith that saves us, an important part of that saving faith is surrender. The surrender of our will to God. Jesus has to be both our Savior and our Lord. We have to sense to be broken and say, Lord, it's no longer the life I lived before. It will be a new life by your grace, living for Christ. It says in that chapter in Hebrews 12 about laying aside the sin that so easily entangles. Sin was holding back Saul from coming to Jesus. And then the Lord had to deal with it. And I wonder, what sin is holding you back? Is it stubbornness? Is it pride? Is it loving the sin of this world? Is it loving being the boss of your own life, being your own man, being your own woman? You have to lay aside that sin and turn to Jesus. You just can't come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you to save me. I'm going to live, though, to whatever way I please. It doesn't work. Part of saving faith is repentance, embracing Jesus as Lord. But when we come and start this race is the greatest thing of all. Knowing Christ is the greatest thing of all. And you're a Christian here today, you'll know that. But the race isn't easy. And we thought this week about staying in the race. And the sin that entangles and prevents people from starting the race is also a sin that comes back and hinders people as they seek to live for Jesus. And we thought about Peter over this past week, a great man. Of all the disciples, the first to put his hand up and be willing to do something for Jesus. He was very confident and he said Jesus, he would never fall away from him. And yet when Jesus was arrested, he denied Jesus three times. He fell. And the Lord was teaching him an important lesson. The Christian life is not easy. The Christian life is not for those who are perfect. And when you will start to live as a Christian, you will fall, you will trip up, you will make mistakes, you will get it wrong. And you will think at times, how can I be a Christian? How will the Lord put up with me because I fail him? But Jesus forgave Peter. When Jesus rose from the grave, and the angel spoke to the women at the grave, the angel said, you read this in Mark's Gospel, go and tell the disciples and Peter, I go ahead of them into Galilee. A special word for Peter. And there in Galilee, after he was feasting with the disciples, Jesus met with him. Jesus challenged him. Do you love me? Jesus reinstated him. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. You see, the Christian life is not about primarily us, what we do. It's about the grace of God. It's about a wonderful God who comes to his people when they sin, when they fall. He comes to them, he lifts them, he brings them back to himself, he forgives them, and he sets them on the path again. Christianity is for strugglers, not for the perfect. We meet here today, and for those of us who are Christians, we're all a bunch of strugglers, including the one in the pulpit. We're strugglers. We fail. We don't reach our own standards, never mind the Lord's standards. We mess up. But the Lord forgives us. And we seek his grace to go on and to be more like Christ and to live for the Lord. The Lord lifts us. And what happened to Peter? Peter went on to preach on the day of Pentecost. Thousands were converted. How did he do it? The Holy Spirit came upon him, this wonderful friend, this friend who is God. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, I would love to be a Christian, but I couldn't keep it up. You're right, you couldn't keep it up. But the truth is, when we come in faith to Christ, and when that faith is real, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. The Holy Spirit who made this world, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, he lives in us. And he gives us strength for us to go on. And if you're a Christian, you've fallen like Peter, and you think, well, I can't get any better, I can't do better in the future, think about the Holy Spirit. Think about how the Holy Spirit made this world and raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit who lives in you, Christian, in his power, you can become more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit keeps us going by keeping us looking at Jesus. It said there in Hebrews in verse 12, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. One of the problems we have in the Christian life is we lose sight of Jesus. We stop thinking about Jesus. We need to go back and consider him when we're discouraged. Consider his love, his grace. And in the Holy Spirit, his power. But we need not only to start, but we need to finish the race, which we were thinking about today, and Lorna was sharing that. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, or the completer of our faith. Remember, those of us who are old enough to watch Mastermind, Magnus Magnusson, when he did it, and at the end, when he was asking a question, and the buzzer went, those famous words, I've started, so I will finish, as he finishes the question. Jesus says those words, what I have started, so I will finish. We were thinking earlier of Stephen, this man who was a great follower of Jesus, and how he was stoned for his faith. But even as he died, he looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and he died in victory, trusting in Jesus. When we were on holiday recently, on our way home, we visited the martyr's stake in Wigtown. If you go in the boat to Scotland, to Cairn Ryan, and you travel towards England, you only travel about half an hour, you'll see a sign for Wigtown off to your right. I encourage you maybe to go there. It's a lovely little town, Scotland's Booktown. But at the bottom end of Wigtown, you'll see a sign and you follow it. It'll take you out to this place. It looks as if it's a field surrounded by grass, but that's actually part of the Solway Firth. And at high tide, water would even come into there at times. And 300 years ago, the water came into that area even more. And the reason why there's that monument there, it tells the story of two Margarets who died for their faith 300 years ago. They refused to worship in the manner that the king ordered for them to worship. They said they would worship only as Presbyterians in the simple worship of the Bible, trusting to Christ. And because of their determination to follow Christ, there's a court case, and they were condemned to die where this monument is. The older Margaret McLaughlin, she was tied further out. She was age 70, so she would die first. And the idea was this, that the younger Margaret, who you see a picture of there, who was only 18, Margaret Wilson, that the younger Margaret would see the older woman die and she would recant. She would give in to the demands of her persecutors. And as the older Margaret was dying and going under the waves as the water came in, they taunted the younger Margaret and said to her, "What do you think of what you see out there?" And this was her answer. "Think? I see Christ wrestling there." And this is her wonderful hope. That as she saw the older Margaret died, she believed that Christ was there with him. And then this is what she did. She sang from Psalm 25. Read just the verse that she began with. "Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways." And she sang several verses from Psalm 25. And then she read from Romans 8. She read out loud, or she spoke the words from Romans 8. "Who can separate us from the love of God?" And those verses would speak about being more than conquerors in Christ. And the water came over her, and she was beginning to drown. And they came and they pulled her out of the water, pulled her to dry land and said, "Listen, recant now and we will forgive you. We will let you go." And she refused again. And she was put under the waters and she died. But she died in victory. And she's been an example for many for centuries. Only 18 years of age. Died in victory. Died in faith in Jesus. How are you going to die? How am I going to die? We're all going to die one day. Unless Jesus returns first. How are you going to die? Will you die in victory? Well, you'll only die in victory if you come to know Jesus. You come to him acknowledging your sin, trusting in his death on the cross alone to save you, and surrendering your life, asking him to come and take it over. You know, I sometimes wonder how I'd respond if I knew I was going to die very soon. And even though those of us who are Christians, we wonder, how will we face death? But it's not a matter of how I will face death if we are a Christian. It's a matter of Jesus, the supreme champion, coming and wrestling with us, carrying us through, and taking us to glory, which is far better. Run the race. Trust in the supreme champion. Start the race. And finish it in his grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And we thank you just for this wonderful theme that the boys and girls have been considering all week. And just for all of us here today, Lord, you look down upon us, different ages, different backgrounds, different needs in many ways, but we all have the same need, which is to start the race, to run it and to finish it in Christ. Lord, for those today who are not saved, who are not Christians, who don't have that saving faith in Christ, draw them today, we pray, O God. And Lord, with your grace, may they start the race. And Father, for Christians here who are struggling, Father, we all struggle. We think of a great man like Peter and how he struggled. And for those who have fallen, O God, lift them with your grace. Encourage them that in the power of the Spirit they can go on. And Father, when the day comes and we face our death, may we die in victory because of Christ wrestling with us. In his name we pray. Amen.